Oh, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Founding Members Call numero el 70, which is Spanish, by the way. Don't quote me on that, though. Welcome back here. It's September 1st, and we're getting into a new topic because of that. Every month we cover a new topic, and we go over as much in-depth as we possibly can in the first one, and then after that, we do a whole lot of Q&A helping you sort of hone the skills that you've learned in the calls that month. So this month we're going over a really cool topic. I'm gonna reveal that in just a moment. But first, I wanna talk a little bit about questions and answers. If you do have a question and you're calling on your phone, then you can press *2 at any moment, at any time at all during this call, and I'll see that you press *2 and I'll unmute you and we can have a chat and you can get your questions answered by me live. So don't be afraid to do that if you have any questions. Again, this is like the most valuable part of this whole process is to let me know your situation that you're in and get my live feedback on that situation. So you can do that. If you're on the internet and you're watching online, like some people are, on the left-hand side, you'll see a Q&A box. In that box, you can put any question you might have and click submit, and I will see it immediately. And I will be able to answer it as soon as we get around to it. So I'll probably wait till we go to a short break and then I'll answer your questions then. So, and again, right before I jump into this, I want to remind you guys, the Candy Cruise is something I'm going to be on. It's not like I'm trying to push it. I don't make any money from it, but I am going to be on this cruise. I'm friends with these guys who throw all the Playboy Mansion parties. And they have a party on a cruise ship once a year. And they usually don't invite people that are outside of their circle. And I told them that I had a group of guys and I'd really like to be able to get you guys on board. It's in a couple of weeks leaving out of Long Beach, California. And they agreed to let me open up the seats to you guys so you can get in if you wanted to. It's the cost of a regular cruise. It's nothing crazy. There's like a giant poker competition. There's 1,500 models. Only 800 guys are allowed on board. So the reason why there's 1,500 models on board is because these guys are smart, and they have a modeling competition, and they have it on this cruise ship. So they have 50,000 applicants from women. Only the top 1,500 are allowed on, and then everyone else. The other 800 spots are for guys who can buy their way on, but usually they sell these spots for really, really high, like lots and lots of money. Like there's one guy paying $120,000 for a room. Of course, that's a baller room, I'm sure. I don't know what it would have to do for me to pay $120,000 for it, but maybe make $120,000, I guess, would have to do. But anyway, so that the more expensive sides were sold out already, and he had these normal priced rooms that were like regular rooms on a cruise ship, and he needed to fill them, so he's like, he wanted to open them up to me. So if you do want to go on that, you got an email today sort of giving you a reminder about the Candy Cruise, that's what it's called. I'm going to be on there. I'm going to be teaching a live course for free to anybody who wants to show up to that. So if you do want to go, you'll get a room, you'll be trapped on a boat with 1,500 hot, super hot women, 800 dudes who probably have no idea what they're doing with women and have no clue how to get better. You'll be on there with me, so you'll have to ask me questions while you're there, and I'll be teaching you a live webinar, a live seminar, in-person seminar, along with a couple of other big players in this industry, by the name of Brad P and another by the name of Adam Galad, both really brilliant, top of their class. Adam's really brilliant he's just a cunning linguist. He's really amazing at online dating. The guy's gotten, this last year, he got 2,500 private messages from women on one dating site just from his profile. He's brilliant, and he's very, very, very good with women. Older, probably about 50 years old, and just unstoppable. And then Brad P, who is probably the best pickup artist in the world. So a pretty good collection of guys on this boat that are all going to be teaching classes for free for you. So if you want to go, somewhere between $800 and $2,000 roughly is what it costs for, depending on what kind of room you want. $800 is like the smaller inner cabin. I'm not sure if any more of those are left, but if there are, jump on it. And if you want to do it, just grab it. Do we have a link for that, by the way?
I don't think we have it.
No, can I say
this
it?
This page.
I forgot what it was too. I'm staring at Brad right now. I'll find this out real quick. Where the link actually is. And then get it to you. Actually, I have it right here. It is thedialbadass.com/special/candy with a K, hyphen cruise with a K, hyphen TTOB as in the Dial of Badass. So that's thedialbadass.com/special/candycruise, both with a K. So candy-cruise-TTOB. If you go there, you'll be able to click on the reserve my room button at the bottom and you'll be able to jump on board with us. We'd be happy to hang out. Like I said, we don't get anything from this at all, but it's I do get to hang out with you on a cruise with a whole bunch of hot women. So
I spent quite a lot of time looking through the pictures from previous years, and it just looks like
it's ridiculous.
Fucking blast.
I think that any guy who goes on is going to clean up like crazy. So if you want to be a rock star for a weekend and join us and hang out, go ahead and do that. Besides that, though, we have this event in Vegas. I want to let you know now. I'm going to repeat this later on in the call, but today is the last day that this is just going to be open up to founding members. We have, if you do want to reserve your seat for the Vegas event, do you know the link for that, Brad, up top yet? Oh, there's a button on the webpage, isn't there? But, sorry, I'm like, we're all freaking all over the place, I guess. But, yeah, if you do want to reserve your seat for that, it's a $100 deposit you have to put down. Founding members come for free, though. This event at its maturity is going to be $2,000 a seat. So if you do want to go, founding members are allowed to go for free until we hit capacity. So the I open it up to everyone else on my list, over 20,000 people, 20,000 guys, who are all interested in this stuff as well. I'm going to open up to them tomorrow. So if you do want to get on and you want to make sure you reserve your seat, I've let founding members get access to it early for the past couple of weeks. If you've been waiting to do it now. You can email brad@thedialofbadass.com and he'll get you set up with a link to go through and reserve your founding members club spot so that you can make sure you get in there. There's also a, and by the way, that whole live event is in Vegas in October. October 14th, I think is when it's, or 15th is when it starts. And I'm going to be teaching everything you need to know about approach. The whole thing is about approaching women. You know, different situations, different scenarios, different angles have come at, the different psychology behind it, practicing approaching drills. We're going to be going over everything you could possibly think of and probably about 10 times that, the amount of things you never thought of or not even thinking to think of about how to approach women properly. This is a major, major issue for a lot of guys, including myself. Whenever I was getting into this for the first time, it was massive for me to learn this. It got me over 90% of my fear around approaching women because I had a plan. I had a thing to follow, a system, and it worked. So if you do want to learn my system for approaching, hop on board to that. That's in October, and it's free for founding members. I'm only wasting your time right now telling you about it because if you let today go by and you don't go, you're going to have to fight with 20,000 other guys for the only 30 to 35 spots that we have in this program. So make sure you do that. Brad@thedialofbadass.com will get you that, get you access to that, and we'll get you in before anyone else does. And then also there's an extra day ahead of time that I'm doing a private mastermind group. It's only 10 guys, that's it. No one else is allowed in, but 10. We've already sold a few seats to it. So if you do want to get in on that, I'm going to be personality typing each guy individually and then also telling him his specific style and teaching him exactly what to do in order to meet women that is to his greatest benefit, sort of his superpower, so to speak. And then on top of that, I'm going to be going over the biggest issues that each guy has by basically cold reading you directly. I'm going to teach you how to use this ability to personality type yourself, to personality type women as well in the second half of that mastermind. Again, only 10 guys are allowed on, and to founding members, you get in that at half off, which is $500. So if you do want to get in that, again, let Brad know whenever you email him, brad@thedialofbadass.com, and he'll let you in to that. All right, now, I'm done with that spiel there, letting you guys know what's going on. Again, questions, *2 if you're on the phone, and if you're on the web, you'll see a little section right there where you can put in your questions to get your answers. So today's topic, probably my favorite topic of all time, actually. I know it might sound kind of silly when I tell you what it is, but I'll tell you why in just a moment. This topic for me has been the difference between being okay with women and the difference between being unstoppable with women. Now, most of my life, I thought that my problem was with attraction. I thought that I needed to build up more attraction. I thought I needed to get girls to like me, to be curious about me, to get interested in me. And so I spent a lot of my time doing that. But whenever I found out that that stage of the interaction is so short, my immediate thought was, well, what's the most important thing? And I got to this final answer. And that answer is, and most really good dating coaches will agree with me, that the most important stage of the interaction, besides the one that you're on, regardless of what stage you're in, is rapport. Rapport is the bottom line. At the end of the day, it's the bottom line difference between you being very, very good with women and being just good enough to get them interested in you for 5 minutes and then they lose interest immediately. And if you do it too early, you can screw everything up, which is what most guys do. So they don't think they have a problem with it because they're just doing it immediately. But the problem is they're going in too early. So, but once they learn the attraction stuff, most guys hold on to that, like, you know, I don't know, like a fat kid to a hamburger here, you know, fat kid to an ice cream cone, and they will not let that attraction crap go. They won't drop it and begin to build rapport. And what happens is they all the attraction starts to die off after a while, and they lose this girl's interest immediately. And then they get super needy trying to get her to be interested in her in him again, and that just ruins it and makes it worse and worse and worse. And then eventually they're feeling like crap, getting drunk and trying to drown their sorrows. So I don't want that for you. I'm going to go over, I know a lot about rapport. I know I've spoken for, I used to have a course that I'm gonna revive at some point when I feel like it's necessary, where I taught advanced rapport arts. And whenever I taught it, it was 5 days long, and it was every day for 5 days, 8 hours a day of coaching. So it's a lot of material that I can talk for 5 days, 8 hours a day for 5 days straight. So I'm gonna be precise during this, concise, and I'm going to be abridged during this process because I don't want to overload you with information. But I am gonna give you some kick-ass material. So make sure you have your a pen and paper handy so that you can take notes as I go through this. And any questions that you have, please, please go ahead and post those up and I will answer those. I'm more than happy to do it. Some guys get nervous and then later on they ask questions via email and I don't have time because I'm busy answering 100,000 emails. So if you do want to get it, you have me here. I'm sitting here right in front of you virtually. And this is live, it's real time. You can press star 2 if you're on your phone and fill out any questions you have on the web form. So let's get into rapport. But before we do that, actually, I'd like Brad to share something. A while ago, I'm not sure if you've seen this or not yet, because a lot of people miss this, but I had a page that I created called the Black Book Technique. And the Black Book Technique was a technique I had never taught guys before in my life, because I used it and it just annihilated any other technique that I'd ever used. It was so easy and so good for me to get girls' phone numbers that I stopped using it because I was afraid I was only going to use it. And I wish I could show you a picture or something, but I can't do that over the phone, obviously. But I have my original, I went back to Florida, I was kind of going through my stuff, and I found my original black book that I started using the black book technique with. And I created this technique sort of by accident. And what I did is it was a way for me to qualify women without going through all the sort of dancing around and bantering and trying to get her to like me crap. I just went straight to qualifying and it worked. I was really getting a lot of girls very interested in me and getting a lot of phone numbers. So I started using it, and it was just using this black book in a specific way and saying a certain thing. That's all you got to do. It's not like it costed any money. Even how much are those black books? You got three of them for like $5
or
something.
Yeah, like $7.
$7 online. They're like little thin moleskin books you can keep in your back pocket. And so I had one of those little books, and I was like, well, you know, I originally got it because I'm really bad with names, so I forgot all these people's names. So I would be out at a bar and I'd meet about 15 or 30 people, and I was like, I don't remember half their names anymore. So I started writing people's names down. Well, then I was like, oh, I wonder if I could use this as an opportunity for me to actually qualify these women, to like get them to start to sell themselves to me, to chase me, and to try to gain my affection, sort of make me like them. And if you do that, then whenever you do start liking them, you know, quote unquote, when you start liking them and they see that you like them, then they appreciate it a lot more. They become a lot more attracted to you and they want to jump straight into rapport. So you can essentially cut down the time between when you meet somebody and when you're making out with them by about a third of the time by using this technique properly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal that to you now, and then I'm going to let Brad talk about what his experience was recently with using this technique, because you had never, I never taught you this technique before until recently as well, right?
No, I just, I'll talk more about it after you talk about
that. Okay, cool. So basically what I did is I had this black book, and I was writing people's names down, and then eventually I was like, well, what if I could just qualify them during this process? So I tried it. I was like, you know, got a girl's name, and I wrote it down. I said, I'll tell you word for word what I said. I said, I go, what's your name? And she goes, oh, I'm Sandy, let's say. And I said, okay, hold on just 1 second. And then I reached my back pocket, and I pulled out this notebook and this pen. And as I'm pulling it out, and I get it in front of me, and she looks at it, I go, I'm really bad with names. And I'm looking at her. I'm really bad with names, so I'm going to go ahead and just write your name down real quick so I can remember it. And then as I'm saying that, I'm finishing writing her name down. So I'm not going to like write down and then pause and have a silence there for a minute. I don't do any of that stuff. It was all pretty fluid. And then right after I was done writing the name down, I stop and I look at her and I go, well, normally I write down just like, I would write down, oh, you're wearing a red shirt and blue heels or something. But what if you change your clothes later and I see you, I won't know who you are. And I won't be able to be triggered. So why don't you tell me instead your three most positive dominant qualities? All right, so this is what's called the questions qualifier. And the beauty behind this qualifier is that whenever you ask a girl this question, she caters her answer to you specifically. And what she's doing subconsciously, she's trying to get you to approve of her. She'll say three things that she thinks you're going to like. And so as she goes through this process of saying these three things, she begins to feel like she has a need to sell herself to you. And that feels like, to a woman, that feels like attraction. So she begins to become attracted. And as you're going through this process, even if she wasn't attracted to you before you did it, she will begin to be attracted to you as you do it. So it's really like a sneaky trick, kind of, you know, on how to get people to be attracted to you. But remember, attraction's fleeting. It's instant, but it's fleeting, so it'll disappear shortly thereafter if you don't know what you're doing. So I'll kind of go into how to save that in a bit. But eventually I got to the point where I was like, well, what'll happen? And they would do it, I'd qualify, and I'd put my book away. So I was like, I wonder what would happen if I had them write it down. That way it's just a little bit more compliance, you know? A little bit more of, you know, a little bit extra that they do. So I did. I handed it to the next girl that did it, as, you know, said the exact same thing almost word for word, you know? Like, I changed it a little bit, but not much. And then I said, why don't you write down your three most positive dominant qualities? And I would hand it to her and put it in her psychological space so she took it, so it was easy. And then I would say what I wanted her to do right after that. So I'd hand it to her, and I'd write down the name, then I'd hand it to her, and she'd pick it up. And I'd go, why don't you write down your three most positive dominant qualities so I can, you know, remember? And she'd start writing it down. And the weird thing, as soon as I started doing this, is that I've just totally blown away. The first time it happened, I got it back and I was like, thanks, you know, and I looked down at it and it says like adventurous, exciting, and then, you know, 853-221, blah, 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 her phone number, right? And I was like, what? You know, at first I was like, this isn't really, I looked up at her like, are you joking? And she was looking at me just like I was going to continue the conversation and wasn't even going to skip a beat, but I was sort of like, surprised. So I was like, and then I put it away and I was like, okay, cool. And I kept talking to her, you know, and then I talked to her, you know, a couple days later and she answered the phone and like we hung out and stuff. It wasn't like she was giving me a fake number. So I was like, well, crap, man, let me try this again. So I tried again and it worked again. Next time I got a phone number and an email and I didn't even ask for it. So I kept doing it and I filled this entire black book up with phone numbers. I must have gotten 50 phone numbers with this book. And the girls would open it up and they'd look at it and they would see other girls writing in their phone numbers and they would still write down their phone numbers. And eventually, when I started a new page, if I handed it to a girl with a new page, I found that it was harder for me to get her to write her phone number down. So what I started doing was handing it to her on the wrong page and then going, oh, just flip to the end. And then she'd flip to the end and she'd go through all these pages of girls' phone numbers and then get to the end and then she'd do it. She felt compelled to write down her phone number. So this kind of hits on a really powerful concept. Women are attracted to men that other women are attracted to. This is kind of the core of everything that everyone will ever teach you. If it makes sense, this is what's at the core of it. Women are attracted to men that other women are already attracted to. Now, typically it has to be the same caliber of woman that they think they are. So if a really hot girl sees you with 10 super ugly chicks, she's going to be like, wow, that guy's the king of ugly chicks. You know, she might not think that, you know, you're the kind of guy who dates women who are of her caliber. So ideally, you want to be, you know, you want to create this idea that you are used to women being attracted to you, which is really what the Dial Badass is all about. That's the path. That's the way of the badass, is to get used to women being attracted to you, because once you are, it compounds. It's exponential. It gets easier and easier and easier. So what I would do is I'd hand it to her on the wrong page, and she'd flip through and see all these other women. And contrary to popular belief, or contrary to what would be intuitive for most guys, which is she would go, ooh, you get so many girls' numbers, you don't even need me, whatever. That's what guys would do. That's what I would do if I was putting my number down in a girl's book and she had so many. I'd be like, why do you need my number? You've got 50 dudes in here, you know? But women don't think like that. They look down and they go, wow. And then they write your number down and then they try to impress you to stand out. That's what happens. So the black book technique was super powerful, and Brad had his first sort of experience using it. You only used it a couple times, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you have your black book with you? You want to go grab it? I think it's in the other room if it's not in your pocket.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, okay, he's got it. Let Brad grab his black book there.
Yeah, so I started using it because of the functionality of it as remembering names better, you know, as I'm meeting people everywhere I go, you know, to parties, to meeting people out mm-hmm. at bars, coffee shops. I kind of write down, like, where I met them, who they are, you know, their names, and then, like, something, a few things about them. And, so this is my first time actually using it at a bar with a girl, and I was just kind of explaining the whole thing to her as I took it out. You know, it's awesome because nobody carries a book around with a pen anymore. I mean, everybody has a phone.
Yeah, right? iPhones and yeah. iPads and flip-flaps and wing-wangs.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's mm-hmm. it's curiosity, right?
Right.
So, you know, I take it out, and I'm just kind of explaining to her casually, and she takes a look at it, and she sees, you know, I'm Coffee Bean. We got Marcy, who's nice, trustworthy. We got Chris, who's enthusiastic. You got Laura, who won't cheat at Battleship, and that was the one that she was like, won't cheat at Battleship.
Right. What? So okay, so you have a story that goes along with that. Before right. you get into that, though, did you write all these first ones down yourself?
Yes.
And the last one where she wrote it down herself. Yes. Okay, so there's a massive difference here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so the top ones, he didn't get any kind of, like, attraction, really.
Right.
And the top, I mean, he had some curiosity, but it wasn't like, there's nothing, no phone numbers, no, like, trying to impress,
that,
no emails.
That's just me writing notes about people that I meet.
Right, so he was just writing this down himself. So continue, so you can, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good one. So she looks at it and saw, you know, these girls with different things about them, and so she wrote, new best friend. And then she wrote her name, and
you used that banner line, didn't you? You're my new best friend. Yeah. You must have.
Yes.
That's great.
So she wrote her name, and she said, "Will cheat at Battleship." Actually.
Oh, okay.
If she has the opportunity, and thinks I'm hotter than Brad Pitt, so that's meant to be a note to me, right?
Right.
So she thinks that I'm hotter than Brad Pitt. Right. We'll meet at the beach on Sunday, left of lifeguard station number 24.
So she wrote down, she basically asked him on a date.
Yes.
On this, straight up. And I just met him. Where'd you meet her? At a coffee shop or?
Bar.
At a bar? So just from using this black book technique one time, you already got a date and you didn't have to ask for it.
No.
It's just kind of the beauty behind this system in the first place, you know, is that, and this was the one time you handed it to her, right? Yeah. The other times you did it yourself. This is exactly the same realization I had. I was like, when I do it myself, I don't see the results. But when I hand it to the girl, it's like some magic switch flips. And she feels compelled to ask me out on a date. Now, there's two things about this, actually. They're psychologically based that actually back this up. One is that when you're giving something that you have a pen and paper for, the natural tendency, that sort of autopilot response, is to write down how you're going to meet up. Because it's like, oh, here's my name and phone number. Right? We've been doing that forever. I'm not sure if the next generation is going to have such an easy time with that. But
maybe a little disconnected.
Yeah, maybe. But that's one thing that's working to your advantage. The other thing that's working to your advantage is that when you write something down, you become more invested. More likely to follow through and more invested. So when she's writing this down, she's actually investing in her attraction with you more. Another part of her brain is churning. So she's using verbal language, that's one part of your brain, but written language is a completely different part of her brain. So now she's engaging in two parts of her brain thinking about you at the same time. And this is really, really powerful. And so that's why most women will, when they're writing their own thing in there, those two elements, those two factors, play to your advantage, and they start to write down things that they wouldn't normally do to a guy they just met, you know? That she just asked you to meet her out at the beach. She's going to be wearing half to, like, next to nothing when you meet her, you know? And that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know? That's pretty cool. And you didn't even have to ask her to do it. And that's what's really exciting about this technique. So I wanted you guys to know that. It's pretty awesome. If you don't know the Black Book technique and you want to know a little more detail, I'll probably at some point write a little mini product around how to do the Black Book technique so you can follow the steps step by step and just rock it and be able to, like, you know, produce great results. And maybe we'll be able to sell it with, like, you know, if you buy the product, we'll give you a pack of like 10 books or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But ultimately, it's a really kick-ass technique, and no one else knows this. So don't, like, go blabbing to everybody and telling them about this. If you want to be able to use it, and you don't want the whole world, every single guy in the universe to use it, then don't tell too many people about it. Just use it yourself, and you know, see what happens. Try it a couple times on your own, writing it yourself, and then switch over and try to do it with them actually writing it down for you, and see the difference. So that's the Black Book technique. I wanted to go over that because Brad had a really great story. So that was pretty funny. So I have a question already. So I'm gonna go into it. Jonathan asked this question last week, but we didn't have time to really get to it in detail. Okay, so let me just read it real quick. Sorry. Okay. So his basic question was, why is it that after you slept with a girl or gone through the seduction phase with a girl, that you don't have to qualify her again in the future? And his question is reason for asking is because he's wondering, don't we still want her to chase us in the future? And the answer is yes, you do want to chase her in the future, but qualifying is not the way to get her to chase you later on after seduction. So whenever you are, once you qualified a girl once, she feels worthy to continue to seduction and to sex with you, right? So whether or not you know it's happening, it happens in every interaction, and if you can see it, then you'll know it's happening. If it doesn't happen and you look for it, then you can create it and make it happen. So that's the beauty behind qualifying. But once you've sort of gone through the seduction stage and you've already slept with her, hooked up with her, whatever, something sexual, you don't need to qualify her anymore. And in fact, if you do qualify her, she'll feel rejected. Now, here's the reason why. Imagine for a moment that you work for someone, right? You get a job. Imagine you work for someone. You probably do already. Imagine you go into your boss and you got the job, and your boss sits you down, you know, randomly out of nowhere and goes, I want to ask you a question. What qualifies you for this job? What are you going to think? Immediately you're thinking, he's about to fire me. He or she is about to fire me. I'm about to get fired. What did I do wrong, right? That's exactly what happens with a regular qualifier. If you're with a girl and you've slept with her already, she's already got the job, so to speak. If you start qualifying her again and asking her, basically you're asking her why you should hang out with her. If you've done that already once and then you slept with her and then you do it again afterwards, she's going to feel like she's quote unquote getting fired here. Instead, what you want to do is you want to escalate sexual tension to get her to chase you whenever you're not around and she can't consummate that sexual tension. Meaning that you can text her sexy messages while she's at work or something, as long as it's not to her work phone. If she has a work phone, don't do it to her work phone. I've gotten in trouble doing that before. I almost got a couple girls fired there. If you know she's in a spot where she's sitting across from you at a table, and you know it's, you have to be polite and it's in public or whatever, you can text or something, or you can say something to her in public that you want to do to her later. This will sort of get her to get super excited around you, and she'll be chasing you a lot that way. But you don't want her to continue to chase you, or you don't want to be thinking about getting her to chase you in the attraction phase anymore, because you've already gone past the attraction phase. The attraction phase is very, very quick, and whenever you bounce back later on to go through the different stages, just to kind of go through rapport for a minute, and then attraction, then seduction, then back to attraction, then rapport, and you're just kind of bouncing around after you've gone through seduction once, By the way, once you go through seduction, and for the guys who are new on this call and haven't read through the book yet, there's a system to attracting women, and that system is as follows. Attraction, rapport, seduction, relationship balance. Those are the four stages you go through in an interaction with a woman. If you don't go through them all in order, things start to fall apart. If you know how to, if you know the system, then you can do what's called seeing the matrix, where you can see what stage you're in as you're going through that stage with a girl. And if you can see the matrix, you can start to bend the rules and skip stages. That's whenever you can go up to a girl you've never met before and you can start making out with her, because you know how to bend the rules. So just keep that in mind. I'm going to close that loop there in that conversation, that question. So keep that in mind, but qualifying is part of the attraction phase. So if you are a qualifying woman and you've already slept with her, you need to stop doing that. It's the equivalent of bantering during rapport, which we're about to get into in a bit here. So I'll stop talking about qualifying and get into that in a bit. Here's another good question. Let's see. So for the Black Book, John is in is that in Irving? Is that where it is? John N. Irving or John P. Irving? I can't tell if it's his last name or not. So John is asking, when you're using the Black Book technique for the first time, you've got no other phone numbers, what do you do, basically? How's it going to look? How's it going to work? Well, Brad just did it. He didn't have any other phone numbers, and it worked fine. The first time I did it, I didn't have any other phone numbers either, and it worked fine. But because about 90% of this technique, the power behind this technique comes from them writing down the answer to this question in the book, not the fact that the other girls' numbers are in the book already. Also, if there's a girl with really low self-esteem, I will start a whole new page for her. I won't even show her any other girls, because some girls get really freaked out if they're like really low self-esteem. They don't really believe that they're attractive at all. You can tell these girls usually because they're like dressed way down. They're not trying to like show off their bodies or stand out at all, and they're kind of meek and quiet. If you're talking to a girl like this, having a bunch of other girls' numbers there is going to really intimidate her, and she may actually self-sabotage the interaction because she doesn't think that she's good enough for you. So you have to keep that in mind. But when I started doing it, it was fine. It didn't have anything else on there. And you can just say it's a fresh book. You know, it's perfectly easy to do that. This is a new book. You know, I would definitely write some names down, though, in between. Don't just use it for numbers. Write down other shit, too, so it's not just numbers. Like, write down names of guys, too. This is really important. If you write down names of guys and girls in between, just write down the guys' names and then something about them real quick, like blue hat, whatever, you know, facial hair or funny feet, I don't know, whatever you think of. And you write down his name, whatever, so you can remember his name, too. And then when she gets it, she'll see that the guys are all just names and something, and the girls are all names and then three things and something else. So it'll work to your advantage doing that. If you really need to, if you're really scared to use it without getting other girls' numbers in, you shouldn't be at all. It's really not a big deal. But if you really want them in, then use it a few times and like write the stuff down yourself without giving it to another girl, to the girl to actually write down. So qualify a few girls just by writing it down yourself. And then whenever you hand it to her, there'll be a bunch of other girls' names with qualifiers in there already. If you want to get phone numbers, I mean, you could, I guess, get, you know, write in a fake phone number with the girl's name and it would be fine. But that kind of tricks off, like, that flips a weird inauthenticity switch in my mind. I don't really like the idea of it. You know, if you're going to be, you don't need to do that, so I don't think you should, because it kind of feels like lying to me. Now, if you're really good with names, then you may have to find another reason to talk about this, because that's kind of like lying too. But I happen to be fucking terrible with names. So
I'm actually pretty good with names, but this has still helped me. I mean, starting off with the name thing, because first of all, it's definite. You can write it down 5 minutes after you meet them. And then if you come back and you go, oh, shoot, what was her name again? You can actually just look in the book.
Right, which is how I used it all the time.
And, you know, another thing that I found is that as I go, you know, just myself, went to go describe these people so that I can remember something about them, I started off, you know, just writing the things that immediately came to mind, but then I realized, like, there was one point where I wanted to write something slightly negative about a guy that I realized just was so slightly intimidating to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was about to write that, I had to sort of step back and reframe it and go, it's terrible if I if I'm gonna if the thing I'm gonna remember about him is something negative and I don't even know him. Mm-hmm. You know, all I know is his name. So I've just gone through this process. So now I use it to find the positive attributes about everybody that I meet.
Right. So cool. That's really important, because if you use it and you write down negative shit, it will be how you remember them. You'll be thinking about that negative crap when you see them next time, and as you go through the interaction, as you sort of hang out and talk to them. So, cool, man. That's a really good question, so I'm glad you asked that about the Black Book technique. It's an amazing technique. If you haven't gotten them, maybe you can send out a... Brad, can you send out an email to founding members? Make a note to send out an email to founding members, giving them a link to buy these books.
Sure, yeah.
So if they want the Black Book technique, they can get it. And
yeah, I bought mine on Amazon.
It's cheap, I know that, so I got them for hella cheap. But anyway, we can do that, and you can make a note there. So, okay, cool. Let's get into what we are talking about today, which is rapport. So, like I said before, there are four major stages to attracting women, what's called the interaction map, or the map of interaction, however you want to say it. And they are attraction, rapport, seduction, and relationship balance, in that order. If you skip straight to rapport, then you skip over the whole stage of attraction, and attraction is where you build all the curiosity and make a woman want to talk to you in the first place. If you skip over that stage, she probably won't want to talk to you, which is what most guys experience. This is what is called rejection, or being rejected. You get rejected because typically you try to go into rapport too fast and skip over the stage of attraction, or you don't spend enough time in the stage of attraction to get her interested in you enough to want to know anything about you. So we're going to go over rapport now. Attraction we went over last month for the past three calls. It was all about attraction. If you want to know more about that, then you can access those calls. Brad sends an email out to the recordings of all of our calls here to everyone on the Founding Members Club list after each call. So today or tomorrow at latest, you'll get an email letting you know where you can listen to this interview and others as well. So go back and listen to those later if you really want to get more information. Let me make sure that we're good on time here. That was actually a lot of time so far. All right, so let's get it right into rapport. So rapport has four stages within it. Attraction has three. It's got the introduction stage, sort of the approach, opening stage. Then it's got demonstrating high value, which is where you are showing her that you're a high value person, a high value man, through your body language and through bantering. And then it's got qualifying, which is what essentially the Black Book technique is, all three of those things rolled up into one technique. So it sort of pushes you through the entire stage of attraction all at one time. Builds curiosity, then qualifies immediately. So then you get into rapport. Rapport is a stage during which you are a friend to her. In the beginning, during the attraction phase, you're just like a little boy. Like, your mindset is that you're having a good time, and that is it. And this is your default stage, especially if you're out in a place that's public. In a public place where lots of people are seeing you, you need to be in a default attraction stage, sort of like a little boy having a good time stage, just joking around, being silly, laughing a lot, whatever, telling stories. This is all part of the attraction stage. Now, when you get to rapport, you switch from being a little boy and being playful to being a friend and being serious, but you don't do it until you've gone through all the attraction phases, so it's very important. So you're going to switch to being serious. The biggest mistake that guys make in rapport, hands down, is that they banter in rapport. They'll make jokes when girls are trying to be serious. And this is the biggest turnoff to women ever. It shows that as you go deeper into an interaction, that your depth as a man stops at shallow. And that's all that you have. That's all that you are. You're just a shallow dude. And she won't be able to go any deeper with you. So that a lot of guys lose attraction because they end up accidentally bantering in rapport. And by bantering in rapport, I mean that you're making jokes in rapport. She's asking you, where are you from? And you go, Timbuktu, where are you from? You know? She's like, no, but really, where are you from? And you're like, I'm from Mars. Aren't you from Venus? You know, like, just like you're joking around. And women are like, okay, I give up. They'll give up after twice. You do it two times, you're done. They'll give up with you. They won't want to talk to you anymore. It's the biggest sign of insecurity in a man, is bantering and rapport. So when you get to this stage, you'll know you're in it because she'll be leaning towards you, and probably you'll probably be one-on-one at this point. You'll be having serious conversation, not like, you know, joking around, laughing conversation. You can laugh, but it won't be joking around the whole time conversation. And she'll be giving you full positive body language. Now, what does that mean? That means that she will be facing you directly with her chest and her legs and her torso and her head. So that means that her whole body is facing toward you. When you see a girl do this, and she's having serious conversation with you, and she's leaning in toward you slightly, especially if you're leaning in toward her and she's leaning back in, that means you are officially in rapport. You want to write that down. That's very important. Signs you're in rapport. I'll go over them again. Complete positive body language. She's giving you complete positive body language. The second sign is that she's leaning in and you're leaning in at the same time. So if you're both leaning in and she's not leaning back, that's another big sign that you're in rapport. And the third sign is that you are talking about serious shit, not joking around about silly stuff. You're talking about serious stuff, especially if you're talking about stuff that happened to you in the past. That's another big indicator. So those three things will let you know that you're in rapport. Keep that in mind. It's very powerful to know. If you don't know, it's very difficult to proceed. You're going to be stuck in banter. A lot of guys who study being a pickup artist that I know actually suck with women because they never get out of the attraction phase. They can get a girl to like them for a little bit while other guys are looking, and then after that, they go over and they're trying to joke around and rapport, and the girls lose interest almost every time. This is what I call a PUA bubble or pickup artist bubble. They get in a PUA bubble and they start joking all the time and, like, you know, using routines or some shit, and they never get out of it. And so there's a time to drop that, and that time is rapport. The four stages of rapport, though, are as follows. If you are taking notes, which I highly suggest that you do, we just went over how as you write things down, you internalize a lot stronger. So I hope that you do that so you can apply this stuff. The four stages of rapport are light rapport, wide rapport, deep rapport, and what's called release. So I'll go into those different stages now. Light rapport is the stage during which you are searching for a potential emotional connection. So searching for a potential emotional connection. It doesn't mean you found one. It doesn't mean you've made one. It just means you're searching for one. This sounds like this. I'll have a conversation with Brad and I'll stay in light rapport and you'll know what it sounds like. Hey, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. How's everything?
It's all right.
Cool. How's your day going so far?
Great.
Awesome. What do you think about this weather, man? It's been kind of nuts.
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah, it's been bright and then not bright sometimes. That's what the weather does.
Get out of my head.
So that was light rapport. Most of us live our entire lives in light rapport only. We go, how's it going? Fine, how are you? Good. How's the family? Great. And yours? Nice, they're doing well. Oh, cool. How did you get a promotion? Yep, congratulations. You know, that's it. It's only searching for emotional connections. No one's making any, right? I'm asking a question. Your natural reaction, Brad, is to ask a question back. My natural reaction after that is to ask another question to you. Why? Because we're searching for emotional connections, but no one's opening up. I have a friend who wrote a book called The Modern Gentleman. There are two guys that did it. Phineas Malad, which is a great name, and Jason Tesoro. Phineas calls this a conversational game of chicken, where you're standing across from somebody and you're doing nothing but asking them to open up first. That's all you're doing. So this is not how you build rapport. This is one of the biggest mistakes that guys make, is they go up to a girl and they lead with rapport. They'll go right into, hey, what's going on? How you doing? Like, these are questions that we ask everybody, right? Shouldn't we do this? No, we should not do that. So instead, you banter, you're playful, blah, 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 and then you go into rapport afterwards. You only have to ask one question to get enough answers for you to go deeper into rapport and make an emotional connection. And I'm going to go over what you need and how you can do that in just a little bit here. Just enter your name and email in this form below. I'm just kidding. I'm going to give that to you now. So what you need to do, I'll just go over the next phase first, and I'll go into how to go through them in a little bit. The next phase is wide rapport. Wide rapport is finding a potential emotional connection. Not making the emotional connection, but finding one. These two stages, light and wide rapport, typically happen one right after the other really fast, right? So, Brad, if you were to ask me a question, and I'll instead of staying in light rapport, I'll actually go deeper into wide rapport with you. So I'll give you a wide rapport answer. So go ahead and ask.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. I've had a really good day so far and had, drink a lot of water, which is good. And the waves were huge today outside at the beach. So I've just been kind of staring out my window, and it's been really interesting. Okay, so that was a wide rapport response. Now, the reason why most people don't give you wide rapport responses is because you're not asking a truly open-ended question. You have to do what's called breaking a pattern or pattern interrupt. Most of us have autopilot responses. We go throughout the day just doing what is bare minimum. We just live our lives on this flow chart of things that we naturally do. And our subconscious minds are sort of the ones living our lives. We're off in a dream world thinking of something else constantly. And when someone asks us the question, how you doing? That is like hitting play on a tape recorder. As soon as they hit our play button on this tape recorder, we automatically respond back with our gainsay other light rapport response, which is pretty good. And you, right? But we don't want that response. We want to break this pattern. We don't want women to go, good, and you? We want women to go, oh, spill my guts. That's what we want women to do. So we have to ask questions that are slightly different than the light rapport questions that everyone else asks. And I will go into those in just a moment. So that's wide rapport. Wide rapport is finding those things. There are lots of things in that conversation, in that answer, that you could have grabbed onto and used. So wide rapport is those things, right? Really simple, happen like instantly, right? Here comes the hard part, deep rapport. Deep rapport is the part that most guys really want to get to, the part where you're sitting down with a woman and you're sort of just spilling, you know, you're both just opening up and just laying it all out there, and there's no bullshit anymore. You're not trying to, like, you know, test each other, really. You're just opening right up and being real with each other. And in this moment of deep rapport, emotion is transferred directly from one person to another. Empathy is created. And empathy is direct transfer of emotion. Sympathy is feeling bad for someone. Empathy is feeling bad with someone. That's a very big difference. Now, you can feel good for someone with sympathy too, and then empathy is also feeling good with someone. Sorry. Feeling good for someone is sympathy. Good. Feeling good with someone is empathy. So feeling with and feeling for, that's a very big difference. So you want empathy here, not sympathy. You don't want her to feel for you. You want her to feel with you, the same emotion that you're feeling, which is why it's so important to go over the process we go through when we build rapport and know it, so that you can say something in a way that sort of almost not forces her to, but it compels her subconsciously to follow you down that rabbit hole, to open right up with you and to begin to build this strong, deep emotional connection with you. Because that deep emotional connection is what women call love. That's what they call love. And if you want a woman to love you or fall in love with you, then you have to be able to build deep rapport. Now, let me show you what deep rapport sounds like. So this is something a little bit more intense. Now, if you listen to my my recent interview with Lance Mason, I did, if you haven't seen it yet, then you can go into the members area and you'll see a resources tab at the top. You can click on that and you'll see an interview series in there. And one of those interviews is with Lance Mason. If you listen to that interview, besides it being one of the best interviews I've done, I think it was really, really fantastic. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. One of the founding fathers, like the forefathers, founding people of the pickup community. He owns a company called Pickup 101. It's been around forever. And he was one of the greats, you know, right up there with a bunch of other people that probably you don't care about. That are weird. He's very cool and not weird, so that's a bonus. But I did an interview with him, and he was just really just powerful. And we went into deep rapport a lot during that interview. So if you wanted a good example of deep rapport, you can sort of see me going through it and see me drawing him into it as we go through that interview. You'll see me open up first, and then immediately after that, for no apparent reason, no logical reason, he begins to open up too. And I didn't ask him to, right? This is what you want in a woman.
He literally says that those are stories he's never told anybody.
Yep, he says, I've never told anybody this before, and he's kind of laughing at it. So I'll tell you a couple shortcuts in a bit for deep rapport. But before that, let's do an example, right? So Brad, I'll ask you a question, you answer the question, then I'll go into deep rapport, and then we'll come out of it, and we'll continue. Is that okay with you?
Yep.
Okay, So my classic, and guys, you might want to write down what I say here, not as fast as I say it, but just anything that sticks out to you as being very, very compelling and interesting, you want to write down. My classic question is the one I'm going to use because it's the one that is the easiest to use. So it's not the only light rapport question, it's just the easiest one. So Brad.
Yes.
What did you do before you came here today? He's like smirking like, should I really tell you? Leave the masturbation out of it. That, by the way, don't banter. This is banter.
I woke up and walked over here. I made some chicken for lunch.
Okay.
And eggs.
All right.
And I rode my bike down the beach, down Venice Beach.
Okay.
And came here to work.
Okay, great. So, interesting day. So let me show you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to pick one of his wide rapport topics, and I'm just going to go with it, right? All right, so let me pick one that I think will be fun. So when you're masturbating, no, I'm sorry. So I don't know how it is for you, but for me, when I was growing up, I remember the moment I started learning to actually ride a bike and enjoy it. Like, I really was able to enjoy riding a bike. You know, it took me a long time because in the beginning I was really excited about it, you know? Really excited about riding a bike, like I could ride a bike. And but I remember whenever I really first started doing it and really enjoying it and kind of going everywhere. And it's a really totally different experience for me, riding a bike versus driving a car or even walking. Because when I'm walking, things are happening so slowly that I can't really experience the world. I get distracted, right? And it's, the scenery isn't changing fast enough for me to really care. When I'm driving, I'm an autopilot response. So it's going by so fast, I don't have time to take anything in. But biking is right in the middle. You know, I feel the breeze. I can see what's happening. It's coming by quickly. Did you have your headphones in? Because I usually have my headphones in.
Yeah.
You did? So I can listen to music. It's like a soundtrack for me now of my experience. And for me, this is a true story, by the way. For me, and I'm being serious. Brad's like, really? But really, it is. And for me, I have an experience constantly when I'm riding my bike. And this is something that's probably unique to me. Where I'm sort of euphoric because I'm riding and just listening to cool music and chilling out and riding my bike, where I'm almost in a state of like imagining that I'm riding my bike to the afterlife. I don't know why I do this, but I'm like riding my bike through heaven or something. If there was a heaven and that's where I was going to go, right? You know, if I would imagine heaven. And so I'm just like riding and I'm looking at everyone else and people will look at me, but I've got my headphones in, so I feel dissociated, you know, like I'm watching a movie of my life as I'm riding this bike. And it's just the most amazing experience for me because I'm able to just watch how beautiful everything is without judging it for the first time, you know, in my day usually. So when I was little, I think I had the same experience then, and now every time that I ride my bike today, I am able to tap into that same experience, and it's really a beautiful thing for me, right? So that was deep rapport. I know it sounds kind of crazy, and I'm gonna go ahead and deconstruct what I did because if anyone here has read the deep rapport formula that I have within the Tao of Badass, you hear me going through the different stages almost piece by piece, naturally, with Brad. So I've got this formula down so well that I can take any topic and I can naturally draw out what my real experience is. Now, some guys lie during rapport. This is a really fucking bad idea. Don't do it. You don't need to, and it works against you. Don't do it. If you lie during rapport, even if you're joking, like even if I could have lied during rapport during this, like I could have made something up because this is just an example, I don't want to because even though this is an experiment that Brad and I were doing together, it still affects Brad. If he thinks that I'm lying, it actually breaks rapport and it actually makes him feel like he can trust me less. So even if we are having a joke conversation or something that's not really real, then it still works. It's still active. I don't lie ever when I'm building rapport. So I just wanted you to know that first, Brad, because I don't want you to think that I would have done that. But but most of the time whenever I'm talking about this, I don't think about what my experience really until I start talking about it. Then I realize it as I'm saying it. So this is all real. Like that really happens to me. I'm riding my bike and I feel like I'm riding to the afterlife or something. I'm like imagining it. And people are all looking at me. It's sort of in slow motion. It's kind of like I'm watching a movie. And if I don't have my headphones on, it's not really like that. I'm kind of really aware of a bunch of other stuff too, you know? And what I did was I went through a specific series of things that you can duplicate over and over and over again to build rapport. One major, major thing that I did that most guys do not do is use what's called the I perspective. Now, if I told the same story and I used what's called the you perspective, Brad would have not connected in the same way that he connected with me this time. And the girl that you're talking to will not connect with you either in the way that she really truly could if you use the I perspective. Now, I'll go into what that means. The I perspective is where I'm saying a story and I'm talking about me, I, right? I don't know how it is for you, but for me. That's how I started out that entire statement. The whole rapport process, I started out with that statement. And I included this process, this I don't know how it is for you, but for me statement, in the beginning as a necessary component to building rapport. Because when I found out that that forces me to use the I perspective, and using the I perspective is 10 times more powerful than the you perspective, then I just did it every time because it forced me to use it, right? So the you perspective is whenever you go, what I just did right here actually, you might say, oh, you rode your bike. You know when you're riding your bike and did you have your headphones in? Yes, you know. Oh, you know, and you're listening to music and you are a little kid and you're really learning how to ride your bike for the first time and then you get used to it. Well, when you get older and you have your headphones in and you're riding your bike and you're listening to music, how you can look around, it's kind of like you're riding to the afterlife. Immediately I'm going to lose you. I had already lost you anyway, actually, even the very beginning. Because what you're doing actively is you're being skeptical. You're going, do I do that? And then the one time I say one thing that you didn't do or you don't actively experience, breaks rapport. Immediately, you don't trust me anymore. The end. End of a girl sitting in front of you, wanting to spend time with you, wanting to talk to you. That's the end of that. You know. So you don't want that to happen. Instead, you want women to be fully engaged as you are building rapport. And the only way to do that is to keep them from questioning what you're saying. And the only way to keep them questioning is to really be honest with it. What I really mean is I anyway. We just get into a habit of saying you because it's easier for us to say you and to get someone else to open up first than it is for us to open up ourselves, right? Again, like I said, I'm going to give you a couple of tools in a minute. And if you haven't read the rapport section, or it's called Creating Love in the Tao of Badass, you have to read it. It's got a step-by-step rapport formula, a rapport-mula, in that section of the Tao of Badass. I also go over it in detail in a couple of other products as well, Hacking Attraction being one. If you do have access to Hacking Attraction, you'll want to check out the rapport section of that as well. I go into it a lot. So with rapport, you have a very powerful skill set, a very powerful opportunity to make her fall in love with you, to build love with a girl you just met. And she will tell you things about herself and about what she's experienced, about what she desires from a man, about what she really wants you to be and what she wants you to let her experience with her, even in her sexuality, in her fantasies. She'll open up and tell you all these things because she feels comfortable opening up to you about these things. If she doesn't feel comfortable and you don't build rapport, then good luck trying to get her to fulfill her wildest fantasies with you, because she won't do it. She won't trust you. This is why rapport is a precursor to seduction. This is why rapport is a necessary component to seduction. And this is why it leads directly into seduction. Because as you go through, the only difference between building rapport with someone and seducing them is the type of touch that you have. If you're touching her in rapport constantly everywhere, she's going to pull away. But if you never escalate the touch to get to the point where you are physically creating that physical and sexual tension between the two of you, and tension being a good thing here, and escalation, then she will never go into seduction with you ever. And you have to start that in rapport. One of the hardest things for me to do was to build this rapport and touch somebody at the same time. It was really difficult for me to do that. As I went through the rapport process, I would just not touch. I wouldn't think about it. So I had to actively remind myself, shit, I gotta touch. Okay. And I would be like touching and doing, like building the touch, touching your hands at this point. Touch like a friend would. Like if she was just a friend of yours and you were being really intimate in that moment, you might hold her hands for a moment and talk to her and look her directly in the eyes. These kind of things. And that escalates directly into seduction. It's the bridge between talking to her and just doing whatever and making out with her, sleeping with her and all that stuff. So really, really powerful to do that. But, that is not the final stage of rapport. The final stage of rapport is called release. That's when you drop what you're talking about currently and you start the process over again. If you go through rapport one time, it's enough to intrigue a woman to the point where she really wants to know you. Like, she wants to hang out with you again. She wants to see you again. She wants to move forward with you. But if you do it 2-3 times, go through that exact process that I went with Brad here about the bicycle, about different topics. You don't have to lead it every time. If she will most likely, she'll open up immediately. She'll go, oh my God, totally. Like, when I'm riding my bike, I don't experience the God thing where you're dead, but I experience this other thing where people are looking at me and I just feel like I'm riding my bike and I'm excited. And let her experience that emotion and feel it with her. As you do that, you're both building rapport with each other. It's a two-way street, and it's really an amazing process. So very, very, very powerful. Most guys don't see the power in this. They lose interest in this concept, and those guys are what I call not that good with women. That's what I call them. Because this is such a powerful component, and it's really, really just crucial and important. So as you go through the rapport process, you're going to notice that women give you different types of wide rapport answers. We're going to go into that later on. If you guys have any questions about that, feel free to ask those questions now or in the next call. I don't want to get too deep into that because that's a whole nother can of worms there. Again, if you don't have any questions, please type in the question in the Q&A box if you're online. Watching and listening online. And if you're on the phone, press *2. If you're on Skype, I really don't know how you're going to do that. I'm not sure if you can press *2 over Skype. Brett, I think you're on Skype, so if you want to press *2 on Skype and see if it does anything, I don't think it will, but try it and see if it raises your hand. If you're on Skype, you might be SOL on that one. Oh, nope, it worked. All right, well then there we go. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate you testing that with me. So yeah, press *2. And I should be able to get any questions that you have. Brett, I took your hand down because I assumed you were just doing that to help me out there. So if you do actually have a question, then you can press it again, or a comment, or want me to elaborate or anything at all, just let me know. So keep that in mind, guys. If you have any questions, drop them like it's hot. If no questions, though, I'm going to continue talking about rapport. Now, some of the biggest components of rapport have to do with deep rapport because it's such a complicated process. So I'm going to give you a few different tools for deep rapport. But first, I want to give you some tools for light and wide rapport, because that is where a lot of guys get wrapped up, and you won't get the deep rapport if you don't have some kind of tool to get through the first two stages. So instead of asking during what light reports, let's tackle that one first. Instead of asking a question that keeps her autopilot response intact, meaning something that she's used to, try changing up just a little bit. Even just a little bit is enough to get her to wake up from her sort of dream state that she's in all day and get to answer your question for real. For example, how you doing is totally different, or how you doing today is totally different than how you doing today so far. That's a completely different question. If I ask you how you doing today so far, you're going to get a very different answer. Why? Why? It's the same goddamn question. How come you get a different answer? For one simple reason. It's not an autopilot question. You don't trigger that play button where she responds and just plays her tape and doesn't think about it. She doesn't do that. Instead, she has to think about the answer. And that's what you want to do. In fact, meeting women who are at work, this is crucial. Pattern interrupts are crucial because women at work don't want to be thinking about what they're doing. They're at work. They want to have their mind somewhere else, you know? They want to be just doing this stuff mindlessly. They don't want to be thinking about crap. So instead, you want to break that pattern. One way you can do that, by the way, for girls that are at work, meeting women at work, is not at your work, preferably at their work, like waitresses,
coffee shop baristas,
or it's really easy for them. Anybody who's working behind a desk anywhere that you talk to, hostesses, strippers, actually, hookers. I'm just kidding. I don't know about hookers. I've never used this on a hooker, but I'm sure it would work. That and $2,000 would get you laid. But
pattern interrupts would be interesting to try on hookers.
Oh, well, it'd be interesting to try on anybody.
Not like you're looking for a hooker, but I've been to parties
right.
Where they're like some of the women there were gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Were looking for high end clients, you know.
Right.
So.
Right.
It'd be interesting to have some pattern interrupts to throw.
I know one. You want me to give you one?
Yeah.
What do you do for a living? That's a super pattern interrupt for a hooker.
That's awesome.
Because she'll immediately start thinking about something else that she does for a living that she tells everyone else for that she does. And she only tells her friends that crap. Because if she wanted you to go to bed with her, she would be like, I'm a hooker. And her whole game is based around the idea that you don't know she's a hooker till later.
Right.
Right? So she won't tell you that she's a hooker. She won't, and she wouldn't say hooker, and she'd probably say escort or prostitute. I'm a hooker. Hooker's like the, I don't know what that is. That's like the PBR of escort names, escort titles. Nothing wrong with PBR, though. Just want to put that out there. So yeah, if you ask her what she does for a living, she'll have to go into her, oh my God, some of my family wants to know what I do for a living mode, right? And I have to say something that's not like, I'm an escort, right? And she does say I'm an escort, go, holy crap, can I talk to you about that? That's amazing. What's that like? I mean, do you ever meet guys that are like, you know, you would probably not charge them anything, but you take their money just because they hired you? Like, what if a guy's really attractive and, you know, this guy is amazing and you want to sleep with him, you know, do you ever feel tempted to try to get money out of him first? Like, what's that like? You know, and by the way, there's a lot of NLP in that statement. What if you meet this guy, right?
With two thumbs.
This guy with two thumbs who likes sex, right? you know, what if you meet this guy and he's just amazing and you start talking about yourself? This is an NLP trigger. I don't usually teach NLP triggers, but that's a pretty cool one. But one thing you can do is, for anyone else, not prostitutes usually, is how's work going so far?
Yeah,
this is a major one. This snaps women out immediately out of work mode. And whenever you're working for 8 hours, the only thing you're going to remember is the one person who snapped you out of work mode. That's it, the entire day. So you can snap a girl out of work mode. You can get free drinks, free food, phone numbers. You can hang out with her later. It's like anything you want. It's like, oh my God, you're the only guy in the universe. That's exactly how it is. And that's all because you asked, how's work going so far? And that is it, you know? I usually jump into rapport immediately now because I have a girlfriend. So I'll jump into rapport instantly so I kill all the attraction instead of building the attraction up. So I'll just dive right in and I will become friends with somebody. I'll force myself into the friend zone. Now, in the past, I had a problem even doing this because I was still using attractive body language. So women would still be attracted to me and then I had to like work out the kinks in that process. And now I know exactly what to do. I just give positive body language immediately and then start going to rapport. And the girls are my friends and they think I'm cool, but they don't ever attracted to me anymore. And that's how I can do it. If I want to get a girl attracted to me, I just go through the stages like normal and it works. So it's really amazing to have the power to decide who I attract. You know, if you want that power, then I suggest you really pay attention to the system, to the map of interaction that I cover in Dial Badass, because it is exactly what you need to do. Step-by-step process. So, very powerful. Let me just make sure I'm not skipping any questions here and missing any guys during this process. Okay, I think I'm good. All right. Hey guys, if you do have any questions, it'd be a really good time for you to ask those questions, as they say. As they say in the South, where I'm from, you can do that now. *2 if you're on the phone and if you're on Skype. And if you are on the web, please just submit your questions in the box on the left-hand side. Anything about rapport is completely welcome. Anything that's not about rapport, if I don't have time, I won't be able to get to it. But if it's not about rapport and we do have time in a little bit, I will get to it. If it's a situation that you're in, that you were in recently, that you really want help getting through, then bust on there, drop that question in. Don't make it too complicated because I'll have to read it forever and I'll be silent on the call. I don't want to do that. So make it kind of short and just quick and easy. And I'll go through it and I'll give you my best answer possible. If you're on the phone, you get an added bonus because I can actually interact with you and I can answer your questions live. So if you want to do that, go ahead and submit those questions now. And it looks like I got one actually right now. John, again, asked another question. Would you use the same system that you're talking about at strip clubs or would you have different approach? Well, first off, I hate strip clubs. A lot of guys like strip clubs. I don't really like them. I like sincere attraction. I don't really like girls trying to get me to think that they're attracted to me so that they can get me to pay them for a lap dance. But I do know what to do because I have done it before, and that is, it's 90% pattern interrupts, and then the other 10% is negative body language. That's exactly what you need to do. Playful negative body language. And as she tries to escalate, you need to tell her to slow down, you know, because that's what women do in dance clubs, strip clubs, like exotic dance clubs.
Gentlemen's clubs,
where there's scarcely a gentleman about. but in gentlemen's clubs, in strip clubs, typically women are trying to escalate quickly to get you turned on so that you will buy a lap dance out of sexual frustration, really, essentially. So what you need to do is cause her to slow down. One way to do that is, by first off, by the way, to break the pattern. Again, the same concept of how's work going so far is huge, because then they look at you like you're a guy who has worked at a strip club or whatever. And if you really want to rock strip clubs, really, really want to, just get a fucking job at a strip club for like 2 days, then quit. Doesn't matter. So then you can walk up to a girl at a strip club and go, "Oh, I used to work at a strip club." As soon as you can say that, they'll go, "Oh my God, okay." And they start treating you like not a customer. Now, you can lie, but I wouldn't suggest you do that, because then if they start asking you, you know, you won't be able to answer questions. You know, and you'll get into a real conversation with them. Now, the interesting thing about strippers is that as you go through the pattern interrupt, it's very tempting to go into rapport quickly, as in to like spill your guts and have her spill her guts, and she'd want to, and she'd want to talk to you about her life and all that crap. I would suggest you don't do that. I would suggest that instead you break the pattern. You do a pattern interrupt by asking her how work's going so far, and then she gives you an answer, you know, and you sort of relate to her for just a couple seconds, like, "Oh yeah, it sounds intense. You know, whenever I used to blah blah blah," and you go into a real quick rapport. You know, "I used to have to work 10 hours a day, and you know, blah blah blah, and it was like, it was nuts. I was super tired, and I was cross-eyed, you know." And then I would go, Brad's smiling for some reason. I think he's thinking of I don't know what you're thinking of, actually, why you're smiling.
That phrase, "I was so tired, I was cross-eyed." Cross-eyed.
So then you want to bounce back to attraction and go through the whole process, Joan. That's essentially what you want to do. You want to then go back to giving her negative body language and going, "Oh, you're trouble. You know, you got to get out of here, you're going to get me in trouble, blah, blah, blah." And then get her flirting with you. And not in work mode flirting. You have to hit the reset button, and then after you hit the reset button, you start over. Right? You don't want to hit the reset button and then go into rapport, because then you're forcing yourself in the friend zone, and as soon as she realizes she's losing attraction for you, she's going to try to charge you for a lap dance again. It's not going to work. You just have to bypass that filter. Hit the reset button by doing a pattern interrupt and then skipping back to a stage of attraction and going through the whole process again. If you do that, you will rock it. You don't have to lie either. It works. And it's pretty sweet if you like strippers. I've been there, done that, kind of in the stripper area, and I've moved on. Not that, you know, some guys love them. I know a couple guys that freaking just love strippers all day long. It's all they want to hook up with, strippers. I don't really dig it too much, because I appreciate, you know, sanity. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like some insanity, but I've just run into a lot of issues. Not that all of them have problems, but some of them do. And there's a reason why they're doing that for a living, when they could do anything else for a living. But there are some amazing girls who are really hot stripping, who are not, don't have problems. They're just really smart. And they're like, "Look, I can do this, and I can separate it in my mind, so I know what I'm doing." So if you do want to hook up with them, you can do that. Again, any more questions like that? Those are pretty cool questions. So thanks for asking that, John. I appreciate it. Any other questions like that, situational or otherwise, don't hesitate to drop your question there. We are just about out of time, though, so I want to sort of wrap up my statements here about rapport. I wanted to go into, I gave you a tool for light rapport, which is the how's work going so far, if they're working. And then the other one is, the big one is how's your day going so far. So far is a big ending sentence ender here. You can put so far to pretty much the end of it. Not the end of everything. Like, well, actually, I use it a lot in banter, too. This interaction, like, this conversation's going pretty well so far. You know? Like, I'm feeling very attracted to you so far. You know, like, it sort of puts this don't screw it up attitude in there. So far is really good. I'm not sure if I'd use it if you're a doctor. Like, you're going to live so far. It's a boy so far. Hey! Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. That was a Dimitri Martin steal, by the way. Really funny comedian. So next, the next big thing that I typically use for light rapport, by the way, was what did you do before you came here today? That's a really good one. It's an entirely open-ended question. It's not a one-word question. If they say nothing, that means you didn't build enough attraction. That means they're not interested enough to build rapport with you. If they say nothing and they give you a one-word answer, you need to make sure that you bounce back to attraction and continue to build attraction there. So that's it for light rapport. In wide rapport, we have several different options for you to take. You'll get different types of answers from women. And if you guys have any questions about that, feel free to ask me those questions about wide rapport. There are three different types of wide rapport answers, and only one of them is the right one to go for. There are also three different types of qualifying answers for girls who are qualifying. And if you don't get all three of them, you've got a lopsided attraction, and sometimes it can disappear. So if you want to know about that as well, please ask me questions, and I'll be happy to answer them. If you do have questions throughout the week, actually, which is going to be really powerful, Brad is going to put together the next founding members call, which is actually, where am I here? Am I on the wrong page? I don't see what it is. I think it's either next week or the following week. I'm not sure why I don't see that right now. I think I need to refresh my calendar. But it's either next week or the week after that. I'll get that answer to you guys, so you can know for sure when it is. But in the next one, what Brad will do is he'll go ahead and put the send you the link for the page for the call early. So not the phone number necessarily, but he'll send you the web page you can go to. You can log on to listen to the call online. And that way, throughout the next couple of weeks, if you have any kind of questions at all, or next week or so, if you have any kind of questions, you can log right onto there, ask your questions, and I will answer those questions in real time on the founding member call. That way you don't have to come up with all these questions while you're here. You know, if you're out, you can like write a little note down, come back home, log onto that page, and you can just type in the question and click submit, and when it comes time for the next call, I'll go ahead and answer those questions immediately when I get on the call. So keep that in mind, especially if it's a rapport-based question. During this next week or so, I think it's just a week until the next one. I can't confirm that right now, but I will in a bit here. Brad will send you out an email letting you know when the next call is with the next interview. With this founding members call recording in that email, so you can go ahead and download it and listen to it. So if you do have questions about wide rapport and different types, please ask those. And then in the next call, if you guys are interested, I'll go over the deep rapport formula. And any questions that you have between now and then using rapport, please feel free to write those questions down, and I will get to those and hook you up. So that's it for this call. Anything you want to add, Brad?
Brad? I'll send out that email either tonight or tomorrow with the recording of this call, and also the link to pick up some little black books.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So you guys can get them black books in. And start using the black book technique and see if you can get that thing working, man. That's a really cool system. It's kind of like magic. After I used it the first time and it started working, I was kind of like, holy shit. I couldn't believe it worked. And a lot of guys, it sounds too easy to work, and so they don't do it. But that's fine by me, you know, because it's better for everybody else if not everyone in the whole world is using it. So, but if you do want to use it, it's pretty slick, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. Again, thank you guys so much for joining the Founding Members Club. If you do want to get in on this event in Vegas, I highly suggest, it's in October, and as a founding member, you get to come for free. So I highly, highly suggest you email Brad at thedaoofbadass.com now.
Tonight.
Like right now, tonight, because tomorrow we're opening this up to over 20,000 guys to be able to join until we hit capacity for this event. And if you're not on it, regardless of whether or not you're a founding member, if you decide to come later, and we're full, you won't be able to get in. So I want you to do that. I, you know, part of the Founding Members Club and it being such an awesome deal for you guys is that you get to take advantage of these more than $2,000 courses. It's more than $2,000 a seat for these courses. You get to come for free twice a year. This is one. There's another one going to be, not the end of this year. This is the last one for this year. But the beginning of next year, we're going to have another one. And another one later on in the year next year as well. And those events are massive and epic, and I go over some really amazing topics, and I get to meet you one-on-one, and there's a lot of Founding Member Club benefits at those events. So make sure that you join those events and that you you take the time to really reserve your spot tonight to do that. And if you want to get on the mastermind, that's the day before. There's only 10 guys allowed on that too. You get it at half off, which is $500 for that day. It's a private session. With you and other guys who've gotten in the mastermind, we're all going to work through each other's problems, and I'm going to go over how to best maximize your superpowers individually. It's something I can't do in a large group of people, so I had to limit it to only 10 guys for that. And you know, for founding members, I'm more than happy to give you guys a special rate at that. We've already sold some seats on that. If you want to join us for that thing, please let Brad know now. Like I said, just shoot him an email and get on the phone with him or whatever you can. And just if you have any questions at all about the event, email Brad, and Brad will get on the phone with you and chat with you and sort of fill out those questions for you so you can have the answers. Anyway, thanks guys so much for being a part of this. I'm just going to quickly check here to make sure I'm not missing anything. Okay, cool. Someone checked the calendar for me. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It says the calendar has next Thursday on it, so that means that next Thursday is the actual next event. John's asking, have we decided what hotel the event will be held at? Yes, we have. That hotel is going to be the Venetian Hotel, and we're going to send out the information for the Venetian later on. If for some reason the Venetian tries to dick us around and be weird last minute, we'll just move it to a hotel right next door. So, and I'll be spending most of my time at the Venetian anyway, because that's where we're going to have it. So the Venetian is where it's going to be. We'll be going out to a club in the Venetian, isn't it called DAO?
Yeah.
Which is awesome because we're the DAO of Badass and we're going to DAO. If you're not 21, you won't be able to get in that club, just so you know. You will be able to get into the event, obviously, and learn everything you need to learn. If we do go to the club, I would love to go to the club. I would like to just get a table and let everybody hang out at it. And we just bring girls back to it and hang out. And you guys can hang out with me and ask me questions, and I can help you do what you do in the club environment. So it should be pretty fun. I can't wait for it. It's in Vegas. Thanks for asking that question, John. It's a good question, and I didn't get to answer it later. Or rather earlier. So thanks, guys. I'll chat with you later on, and look forward to seeing you in person at the live event in Vegas. It's all about approach, mastering the art of approach. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. So see you there. Take care until then, and good luck.